Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? We started shaking the Monday morning blues with our Due Time crew and our relationship conversation. Yes, the conversation was the relationship goals couples need to have. Yes, and it was a fantastic conversation yesterday as we talked about going through the rough patches as allies. You know, sometimes when we're going through these rough patches, oh, God is amazing. When we're going through the rough patches in our relationship, you know, we go through these patches, these cycles as enemies. We're not getting along. We're angry with one another. We're very dismissive. We stop talking and communicating. And is that what God really wants? You know, are we ready to be a part of a relationship when things go wrong and we're always looking to bail? I gotta tell you, makes you think. Because, you know, when you go through these relationship issues with your friends, you don't have those problems. Yeah, you don't stop talking to your girlfriend or your man, you know, because, or your boy, or whatever you call them these days, you know, because something is wrong. No, you don't. You do whatever you need to do, and you think of all the excuses that could be going on with the individual, and, you know, you're willing to give her a pass or two. Yeah, we really do. That's what we do. But when it comes to relationships, it's always a little different when it's intimate. You know, we think that people need to be different. We feel they need to be better. We're not as forgiving. Yeah. So, you know, that was a really good one to touch on yesterday. Just going through these rough patches as allies. Just be friends. Remember, we talk about all the time, if your friends in the beginning of the relationship, when you're first starting out, then it should be nothing to go back to being friends. No. It shouldn't be anything to go back to that. What about becoming the best versions of yourselves together? Yeah. We've got to grow at this thing. We've got to grow together. He may be on one side, she may be on the other side, but still, at the end of the day, we really got to make sure we take the time to tough it out together. You know, talk it out. Ask what's going on. See what can happen after you talk. You know, don't get so upset that you don't want to talk and you can't be friends, okay? All right, all right. What else did we talk about yesterday? Be each other's cheerleaders. Yep, be each other's cheerleaders. You know, like the Good Times crew pointed out yesterday, you know, we're always telling someone how great they look, how much we like this about them, how much we like about them this way and that way. But when it comes to our partner, are we really as supportive? Do we really let them know how much we love such and such a thing and how great this is and how great that is? Are we really living that kind of life? If we're not, we may have to do it. And are you doing it enough? You know, if this is once every 6 months, I might not be enough. But if you make it on a consistent basis, you just might get there. Okay? All right. So that's just some of the stuff we talked about in the relationship goals department. All right? Well, we could not shut down a Monday morning without having our switch tip. Well, this week was switch tip number 74 with Shanti. Stay faithful to your godly traits. And how connected could we actually get? Stay faithful to your godly traits. These things are so crucial. You know, we've been talking about, you know, the switch tip has partnered with the relationship conversation for a while. And, you know, it's amazing how we can now connect the dots between our relationship with man and our relationship with God. It's the same amount of effort that you have to put in for both. You can't, you know, give God everything and then here it is, you have a spouse and you give the spouse nothing. And you can't give the spouse everything and then give God nothing. So yesterday when Shanti talked about staying faithful to your godly traits, yeah, you know, you have to go back. Remember, when you're talking about these things in the relationship department, you really need to talk about things that God expects, because when we deal with our own personal feelings, that's gonna fade real quick. Because when somebody get on your nerves, you ain't talking, you ain't trying to hear it, you already annoyed. It's just you ain't going in. But my prayer is that we all take what we do with God into the relationship. See, that's why the first relationship that should even exist is our relationship with God. Because once you put all your eggs into that basket, then, yes, there you go. Then you should be able to transfer that same behavior into your physical and intimate relationship with man, with your spouse, with your friends, with your coworkers, with your parents, you know, with your siblings. You know, it really has to filter in. And you know, when we connect with God and we, you know, stay faithful to God, because God is always going to stay faithful to us, you know, then we're going to be okay, because then it's automatic in our relationships, okay? Okay. So that's how we spent our Monday, shaking the Monday morning blues together. Well, today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Oh, yeah. It's time to get that talk on. And, you know, I got to tell you, I was having some difficulty with finding some news this morning. Yeah, everything seemed to be, like, boring. I mean, I've been looking from last night, and I got up early this morning, and I've been looking, and I have to tell you, I wasn't impressed with the news. But there is one listener-submitted story that I did connect with, and we're going to talk about it, you know, through that person for a loop, and it was kind of twisted to me, too. So we're going to talk about that, and, you know, I did find something else, and, you know, maybe, you know, listen, you know, if you've got something you want to talk about this morning, I'm going to open up the floor, because I'm not that, you know, I'm not that convinced today. Before we get started with our church folk conversation, you know, that's a lot of times how we get jump started. 347-285-7777. If there's something that you found interesting and, you know, God says okay, then we got to go with it, okay? Because I got to tell you, I still didn't find anything, and I'm just rather disappointed this morning. But what I can say is we do have a continuation. I don't know how many more components we can find to add on to that arthritis list, okay? So get your pens out, because we will be revising that, okay? All righty. So go get that healthy breakfast and make sure you don't go nowhere. That's right. I said it. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Charlotte Dorsey. I want to live here for the rest of my life and be as healthy and independent as I can be. That is why I'm so grateful for Yellow Healthy Aging Alliance, a nonprofit organization that brings 100 service providers together and educates the public on issues like planning ahead to meet long-term care needs, dementia, and how to be safe in our homes. I participate in the Aging Alliance Advocacy Committee that serves as the voice for older adults. We meet with elected officials to advocate for more senior services. Right now, the Alliance is playing a central role in expanding adult daycare services and supporting aging legislation. We are all aging. The Yellow Healthy Aging Alliance is helping us to age well with dignity and respect. You can learn more, join our efforts, and we hope become a friend and supporter at yellowhealthyaging.org.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning to you. And welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Seth. It is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Yeah. God has brought us safely into our second day of the week, the work week, weekday. And, in a rather interesting morning. Yeah, I don't know. You know, we got some boring news in the newspaper and the internet, and yeah, I couldn't find anything other than this news that our listeners submitted, and want to thank you for sending it in, and we'll get to it in 1 minute. But to get started, get those pens out, because we're talking about that arthritis. Yes. Are you suffering with arthritis? Okay. Well, yesterday we started a list, and we were talking about the arthritis fighting food. And let's see where we ended up. All right, so we started off with green tea, olive oil, salsa, quinoa, excuse me, broccoli, and prunes. Okay, and we got one more. And let's see what we got here. Okay, we've got, what else on this list? We've got, I just saw it. I hate when I get my list like this. Garlic, excuse me, was on this list. Okay, and we've got dark chocolate was on the list yesterday. Yes, I remember that. You remember that? Okay, good. So as we move forward, we're adding, like I said, I don't know how many more is on this list. We talked about salmon. Yep, we talked about salmon was part of the food that helps with arthritis. All right, here we go. Excuse me. Beans. Yep. Beans are on almost every single list we get. You know that. If you've been keeping a list, beans is on that list. Okay? They say not all beans have the power to fight arthritis, but the ones that are the best are pinto beans, kidney beans, and red beans, okay? These particular beans are packed with fiber, protein, folic acid, potassium, iron, and zinc. Whoa! Well, listen, check this out. Last week, here's the funny part. I must have gotten a whole lot of fiber, protein, folic acid, potassium, iron, and zinc, because last week, I could only find, I normally have to make two, you know, bags of beans in my house, and I could only find, like, one full bag of kidney beans and one half a bag of pinto beans. So, hey, I just mixed it. It was good. It was good. But now I didn't realize that I was mixing some power-packed beans. So remember, the pinto beans, the kidney beans, and the red beans are the ones that are most effective when it comes to weight loss and joint damage. Yes. Yeah. They say keeping a healthy weight is important for people with rheumatoid arthritis because it reduces the pressure on weight-bearing joints. And it's so true. It's so true. One of the common complaints of overweight people, they complain about their knees. Well, look at all the weight that the knees are carrying. Okay. All right. So we got those beans. All right. Another one that stays on our list, spinach. Spinach, listen, it's not only good for Popeye. Do you remember that? Popeye always had to go get that spinach. Yes. Spinach. Okay. Spinach is full of nutrients and antioxidants, and it will definitely help to decrease the inflammation caused by arthritis. And here's the thing, you know, you can always eat, what do you call it, spinach in many different ways. Really many different ways. You can eat spinach raw, you know, just like regular. You can steam it. You can put it in rice. You can, yeah, there's many things you can do. Remember, we use it for our smoothies. Mm-hmm. Okay. Spinach is packed with vitamins B2, K, A, and C. It's packed with folate, manganese, magnesium, and iron. Ooh. Talk about being power packed. Power packed it is. Come on, that spinach definitely helps with fighting the arthritis. And it says that it produces flavonoids and our bodies, and it helps to reduce cancer, heart disease, and type 2 diabetes, and has positive effects on the memory. Ooh, I like that. I like that. So get that spinach. Get that spinach. Okay, ginger. Ah. Ginger, they say the chemicals in ginger have anti-inflammatory properties, which is something that people who have arthritis really need. So go get that ginger and get the fresh ginger. Get the fresh ginger. They say that ginger helps fight arthritis and has a lot of health benefits. It can reduce the risk of ulcers, diabetes, bacterial infections, migraines, and much more. Okay? So, come on. Get that ginger. Wow. Cherries. Cherries. Come on. Get those cherries. They say cherries and tart cherry juice. Remember, we talked about the effects and the benefits of cherry juice. And they say that if you drink tart cherry juice for 6 weeks, there has been a significant decrease of symptoms in osteoarthritis and reduced inflammation. Just 6 weeks. 8 ounces a day. Remember that? Yeah, I remember that. And if, you know, for those people who have gout, they say it helps to stop the frequency of gout flare-ups. That cherry juice, tart cherry juice. Okay. Well, here's one of my favorites. Walnuts. Walnuts, yes. I buy the walnuts. I told you a couple weeks ago, I bought walnuts at Walmart, thanks to Brother Al. Let me know that they had a good price on their nuts over there. And like for like an 8 ounce bag, it's only like $2 and change. So I bought, I think, 3 or 4 of them. Yeah, I bought 4 of them. And I just snack on them. Just snack on them. They're very dry. Walnuts are very dry. I love walnuts, but they're very dry. So what do I wash it down with? Green tea. See? And if you leave green tea in the refrigerator, it gets super duper cold. Yes. And sometimes I found that my iced tea is colder than my water. Yeah. So that's a good thing to wash down those walnuts with. And walnuts are kind of expensive. Kind of expensive. But, you know, listen, I just told you a cheap way to get them. Okay. So they say walnuts are good for anti-inflammatory diseases such as arthritis. So, hey, aren't we talking about getting rid of arthritis? All right now. Okay, what else do we have here? Oranges. You want to fight arthritis? They say get those oranges. That vitamin C is high, very high in oranges. Yes, and you want to make sure you get them because it helps to prevent inflammation and it helps people with osteoarthritis. It helps them to maintain healthy joints. It has lots of vitamins also. They say make sure you get those grapefruits, those limes, and those lemons, okay? And they say that eating those fruits can lower the risk for heart disease and kidney stones. Yeah. Wow. Okay, let's see what else. What else is on this list? Sorry, I hate this, the way they give this list. Yogurt. Low-fat yogurt contains calcium and vitamin D, and that helps to support bone strength and ease inflammation symptoms. Okay, so make sure you get that yogurt in your system. Okay, brown rice. Yes, they say definitely brown rice helps to support your body and prevent arthritis. Also helps to prevent heart disease. They say eating those whole grains helps to lower your cholesterol as well. Interesting. So not only does brown rice lower inflammation, it's high in fiber, and it can lower your cholesterol. All right, so we're going to stop there. I don't know how long this list is, because, again, it's the way the list is given, and I can't necessarily see what's going on, you know, past what I'm looking at. But, yeah, I got some news yesterday, like late last night. I got a listener submitted news story. So this morning, I got up and I did a little research. And, you know, you really got to watch what your children eat. You know, it's not as safe as when we were growing up. You know, you can hand a kid a comic book and walk off. No. Oh, okay. So, I don't know. I have not kept up with Superman in years. And if so, it wasn't via comic book. I would look at, you know, Superman on the TV and on the movies. But first of all, I didn't even know that Lois Lane and Superman had a child. That was news to me when I saw the text. And I was like, oh, they got a kid? Okay. Well, he was born a boy. And, you know, I'm sure Superman was feeling really good. He had his son. So now they have a new comic book about Superman's son, and Superman's son has fallen for his friend, who is another male. Yep. I tell you. You know, his name is Nakamura, and he has pink hair, and, you know, he's on the other side, and that is where this new comic book is going. And not that long ago, I think it was maybe a year or two ago, we heard that Frozen 2 was supposed to also introduce the issue of being gay, and they got so much backlash from that they tossed the idea. Yeah, because we all know that Frozen 2 did come out. And sure enough, that gay component did not accompany it. And many people were happy about it. And, you know, I'm looking at this. It's a very short article, actually, that I'm looking at, that I was able to pull up this morning. And his name is John Kent. And it says he's bisexual after falling for Jay Nakamura, a male reporter. I can't. You know, it's just, this is why we talk consistently on this broadcast about praying for your children. And this really helps us understand why we need to pray for our children. Because, you know, he's not a child, you know, this son. He's not a child. He's, I guess, an early adult. That's the way it looks to me. And, you know, so you got to wonder what was going on in his, you know, life, that he ended up falling on the opposite side. And, you know, it's this stuff is younger and younger. This is happening younger and younger and younger. Okay? And they're talking, you know, they're talking about, you know, he's still going to fight villains and all of these kind of things. Well, let's go back a little bit. You know, remember Batman? And remember the Batman, whether it was a comic or whether it was a regular, you know, TV show. You know, when he punched, it would go bam, and then it would show wham, and then it would, you know. So it gave this perception of Batman and Robin being muscular and, what do you say, you know, like manly, if you will. And now when you think about Superman, you think about Superman, who was also very manly, muscular, you know, and, you know, when he fought, you know, that's the persona and the perception that we were given back then when we looked at superheroes. Even now, when we look at superheroes, you know, they have a perception that's given and a persona that's presented that helps, you know, us kind of get this stuff in our head. And I'm like, when I see, you know, this Superman S across John Kent's chest, and then I see here that they're saying that, you know, he's going to be, he's still going to be fighting, you know, the villains. Well, okay, so maybe I'm wrong, you know, and I'll take it. I'll take it. To me, it kills that muscular persona. When you start kissing all over a man, I don't have anything against it. To each his own, do your thing. That's between you and God. I teach and preach the Bible. So if the conversation comes up, I do address it. I do not talk to anybody about, you know, being bisexual, gay, whatever it is. That's on you. But we're talking about our superheroes here. Well, what made them superheroes to me? And I wasn't a big superhero person, but what made them superheroes to me was, again, the machoism and, you know, all the bravado. How do you keep that going for some people, such as myself, when you've introduced this side? Because to me, that's a breakdown. And I'm sorry. I don't mean to insult anybody. I'm not being insulting. This is my feeling. This is my understanding, and it ain't valid. We ain't going there. But that's the way, you know, that's how it hits me. You know, so, you know, what do you think? I don't know. Let me get some feedback here. 347-285-7777. When we see John Kent, had John Kent been the son of Superman and he kept that manly persona, would that be the same as someone who's bisexual? And some people may argue, what difference does that make? Because this only comes up when you're talking about sexual preference, when you're talking about your love interest. So what does that have to do with it? Okay, I don't know. To me, there's a breakdown. So like I said, you know, I don't have anything against anybody, but there's that breakdown of my villains versus my superheroes. You know, if you come out with, what do you call it, pink hair. Now, he doesn't have the pink hair. The one he's falling for has the pink hair. But if you come, because after a while, that's what's going to happen. I can't see you, you know, standing up and being all, you know, buff and brave and all of this kind of stuff. And then you, because everybody kind of shows it after a while. You know what I'm saying? After a while, you kind of see it in a lot of people. Let me put it like that. You know, you start seeing, you know, when you see a man walk around with pink hair, that's the first thing you start thinking. I'm sorry. That's the first thing you start thinking. It could be right or wrong. It could be a straight man who likes pink hair. But for some people, that automatically says to them, okay, so this is someone who is, you know, on the, you know, messing around on the other side. He's not, you know, just dating women. Again, it has nothing to do with whether we like it or not. It's a matter of opinion, okay? So, I don't know. Let me know what you think. I'm going to give this number again, 347-285-7777. Why do our superheroes have to be homosexual? Why does that have to be introduced? Why? Are you really trying to tell us and convince us that if this is really everywhere? Really, y'all? Really? I refuse to believe that. Why? Because God created this earth. God created his being. It ain't everywhere. I'm just not believing that. This is another opportunity for them to interject all of this, you know, well, you know, we're here and, you know, now we have a say and now we have feelings and now we have a word and now, you know, we're tired of staying behind the gate. No, it's not everywhere. It's not everywhere. Okay? So, all right. I got another interesting conversation, and I thought it was kind of interesting because Shantice and I have this conversation quite often, and I've had this conversation with other moms and people and parents. Yeah. Well, there's a feeling, because, you know, so since you all are writing in and giving me a feeling, I want to know what you think about the firstborn child is treated differently. But before you go and you start, you know, typing and all of that stuff, let me give you what they say they have found. They say they've been doing studies for quite some time between the firstborn child and the secondborn child. And what they said they noticed is there was not the difference that we always claim we see, okay? They said that they've been watching over a period of time, and they took the relationship between mom and child at the same age. So in other words, at one time it was at 20 months. So they took the first child at 20 months, and then they took the second child at 20 months, and they compared the relationship between mom and child. And then they took another age and they did the same thing. And they said what they found was that the parent, the mom, were consistent in their values, and consistent in their feelings about parenting. And they said that the difference they saw was not how mom treated, but I'm trying to get to this because they said that it wasn't the treatment. They said that it was the personality of the child, and that is what caused mom to behave differently with each child. And I found it interesting because that's been my argument. And you've heard me say that here. You know, you can't treat every child the same, especially if you got children and young people now. That is definitely not happening. Definitely not happening. Yes, they said that they did some thorough research. So they did questionnaires and interviews with the moms, and they videotaped and they monitored the interaction with mom and the child, number one child, and mom and child number two. And they said that they also noticed that each child was given the same amount of, what do you call it, attention, but the attention was different. And because the attention was different, it appeared as though they spent more time with the younger child. So I thought that was really, really very, very interesting. Very interesting. Very, very interesting because, again, you know, I raised the older two together. Although they were 5 years apart, they were, you know, especially the values and things. My values haven't changed today now that I have a 22, 23-year-old. It hasn't changed. But her behavior, her mindset, her understanding of this world has made me change the way I interact and deal with her opposed to the other two. Yeah. So, you know, I thought that was really, really interesting. I thought that was really interesting. Yeah. Well, I want to bring up something else when I talk to my panel here today. And I'm writing. Okay, I'm sorry. I have to write because if I don't write, then I'll forget. Okay. All right. Now, let me hear from you. Please give me some feedback. 347-285-7777. We're talking about, what's his name? John Kent being, you know, bisexual and how we're feeling. And we're talking about the parent and the child. So I do understand that we have a comment. So let's say good morning to Shanti. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. You have a comment from the listeners?
Yes, this is regarding the love child. It says, the bisexual superhero is not for us, it's for the LGBTQ community, so I would say it would do for them what the straight heroes should or could do for us. That'll be their argument anyway. And I would also say it's probably how black people felt when we got Black Panther and other black superheroes. That's my logical side, but I still say, come on, people.
Is that Al?
No, it's not.
That's a very interesting concept, I gotta say.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really interesting concept that is what they need. And see, here we go. That's a prime segue into the second conversation. What do you think, Shawpiece? It's a nice segue. Because it's what they need. And are we talking about the needs of each generation? You know, this new generation had... No, seriously, all jokes aside. Let's think about this thing. Because I didn't think about it until it was said. And I have to honestly say thank you, listener, for introducing that thought. And I want to say thank you to our listener who submitted the story. But it's what they need, and it will do for them what our superheroes did for us, whatever it was. And I you know what? I accept that. I'll take that one. For now, I will. I'll take that one. Without giving it some real, real deep thought, it makes a level of sense. Now, going into the second story, you know what? I'll come back to you. No. Do you have another comment before we go further?
Not yet. Come back to me.
Okay. All right. So, that's a nice thought. That way, we don't have to get all twisted at the fact that, you know, we got a bisexual John Kent. And you know what? Now that makes a lot more sense when we think about the behavior period and the interjection period of everywhere you go. Every TV program, every movie, every this, every that, every game, everything has to be, you know, influenced by this community. So I'm gonna let's talk about that thing here. Let's talk, where's my panel? Where's my panel today? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, good morning. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. We got a submission of a story of John Kent, the son of Lois Lane and Superman. And he's supposed to be bisexual in this new comic. He has a friend that they introduced not that long ago, they say. So this is not the emergence of the friend and then into bisexual. They've had, you know, a friendship all this time. So this particular is until, this one is the new edition of the comic book. What's your thought? What's your thought?
I kind of think it's ridiculous. Now, let me first say that I'm not bashing gay. I'm not bashing bisexual. There was a time in my former life when I was trisexual, because I tried at least once. But so I'm not bashing any of this stuff. But I just think that it's just uncalled for. I mean, you're almost saying that it's okay. You know, I've learned to today. I've never read one of those Archies or one of those comic books, but the comic book that I would read is the Bible. I mean, you got great superheroes in the Bible. You got great villains in the Bible. I mean, you and none of them was bisexual. You know, none of them was gay. I just think that it gives a whole different perception to saying it's okay. And I mean, again, I'm not bashing, but what I'm saying is it's not okay. It's definitely not okay. So why do we keep on promoting things that are not okay? We don't promote stealing. We don't promote killing. We don't. There is penalties to all of this stuff. Why do we keep promoting stuff that's just not okay? Just so that we can validate someone else's feelings, because they're not valid.
Go ahead, Pastor K. I knew that was coming. I knew it was coming. Now maybe my point will be received. No, I agree with you 100%. I think it's abominable. But you know what? That you hit the nail on the head. And we're coming back to that. Because as soon as you said, why do we accept it? Because of people's feelings, that's the first thing I thought about. You're absolutely right. It's abominable. But that's to those of us who believe. Those of us who believe,
right.
who put all of our eggs into the Bible, into the Word. We're the ones who find this unacceptable. But because, like you said, everybody's feeling, because you have to remember something. And let's keep in mind, and I really remember, but you get my point. This whole entire gay, homosexual. A lot of this is about feeling. You can't tell people how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were 12. They always, you know, knew how they felt. They knew what they felt when they were 5. A lot of this is based on feeling, which is why I go
right
back to, that's why I laugh with you, because this is why I say we can't walk around telling people this, because we don't know where
right
their psyche is. And although at times, It is valid, but we got to stay away from it, because how do we now pick and choose who we tell it to and who we don't tell it to? So I'm so glad this came out today. You know, I hope I make a little more sense, but yes, a lot of this has to do with feeling. And let me tell you, you get parents involved, you get grandparents involved, you get cousins involved, you get friends involved, and now they're like, well, don't be bashing, you know, so-and-so, that's how they feel, and they should have a right to how they feel, and blah, blah, you can't tell them how they feel. This is what's going on, and this is why everywhere we look around, every time we look around, rather, this is what we're eating. And I also think it's ridiculous. Like I said, it's children. You know, comic books mostly children read. And now this is what we're filtering into our children from young. We can't even hand them a comic book no more. Come on, Pastor KL, what's going on?
Right.
Well, let's take the rest of the panel, and then we'll come back to our second news story. How's that? That's good enough. That's good
for you. That's great.
All righty, then. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you. All right, let's talk to Lady Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning and happy Tuesday to you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Happy Tuesday to you, too. We're talking about John Kent being bisexual. Now, his dad is all macho and all of that kind of stuff, and now we're here. What's your thought?
Well, our listener pegged it right, you know, and as you were talking, of course, I sneaked behind the sidelines and was reading a little bit, you know, and it's that idea of, you know, I want to see me, but this is a choice that you make, you know, and as you were talking, I thought about a movie that I had saw in the past, which had a pseudo superhero, Deadpool. That's someone that, you know, most people don't really talk about that much, but there was a character in one of the movies who was heavyset, and he kept saying, well, I don't see anybody out there that, you know, like me, you know, that's, you know, not necessarily proportioned a certain way, you know, big arms and that type of thing. You know, he kind of didn't necessarily look like somebody that you would see as a superhero. He was a mutant, you know, and so my thing is, you know, okay, that's their way of putting it in. You know, one of the things that bothers me is that when we were watching it as children, there wasn't any, you know, sexual undertones and none of that was ever seen.
Right.
You know, you might see a kiss here, a hug there, those type of things, you know, because we were children, you know, and when I look at a movie like Deadpool, there were sex scenes all throughout there. When you look at, what is her name? Harley Quinn. She has all kinds of sexual undertones, and it seems like the more we go out, there's all this, you know, extra, you know, it's supposed to be a childlike thing, and as soon as children come out, you know, of the womb, and they're watching TV, they're exposed to it, and it's almost at the point where you literally have to walk and say, oh, don't watch that, put their hands in front of their face on this and on that, and it's supposed to be a childlike show. Where does that stop? I mean, you know, soon as they come out, they don't have any filters, you know, and you have to literally sit right beside your child and say, oh, no, we turn it from that. But it's a childlike show. No, it's not. But it's a cartoon. No, we're turning. You know, and that's the issue there, is that there is no more, you know, it seems like PG is just completely out. It's R and X.
Right.
You know, how much more do we go? Where do we stop the line?
Absolutely. Very good point. Thank you for joining us today, you know, helping us in a time of a crunch. We appreciate you. We got our Pastor Ed with us today. Let's say good morning. Good morning, Pastor Ed.
Hey, good morning to everyone. My apologies that
You're breaking up.
Let's see. Can you hear me better now?
A little bit,
Hello?
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Can you hear us?
My apologies for having to sign in late. I caught the conversation late, but if I'm understanding correctly, you're referencing a comic where, is it Superman or someone related to him is now bisexual?
Yes. We're talking about Superman and Lois Lane had a child. And now that child is a young adult in this particular episode of this comic. And he's had a friend in a previous, they introduced this friend in previous issues of the comic book. But this particular issue, they're introducing the fact that he has fallen for the pink-haired friend that he has. So now they're saying he's bisexual. And okay. What's your thought? What's your thought on the Superman's son okay. being bisexual?
Okay. Let me say this without trying to sound deep. But the fact of the matter is, this is where, for us as believers, this is where the rubber is truly meeting the road. Now, you know, the scripture teaches us that we are sanctified for God's purposes, meaning we're set apart. You know, scripture teaches us clearly that we're in the world but not of the world. And let's just be real about it. This is the world system that we live in. They are promoting their agenda. They're going to continue to promote their agenda. And I'm not really, people don't believe it. I'm not really into comic books, so this is kind of new to me and a bit amazing, but not surprising. So the world is going to present their agenda, and it's not just in this comic. As Lady Tamika said, you turn on the television, you open a print ad, YouTube, whatever. This is the world's agenda they're presenting, especially when you think about entertainment and Hollywood and all of the powers that be. They're promoting sexuality, and they've gone to the point where they're promoting anything goes. It's okay, whatever you want to do. So what has to happen is those of us who are believers have to understand they don't care what we, the world, when I say they, the non-believers, they don't care what we think. They think we're antiquated, outdated, even though that we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And therefore, this is where, do you remember in the old days, you know I used to be kind of annoyed and critical with those in the Pentecostal movement, because there was a time where they didn't want you watching TV. They didn't want you going to the movie theater. Church down to the floor and no makeup. So Pentecostal buns, it used to get on my nerves. However, we do see, while, you know, that may have been extreme, we see to some degree why this was an issue and a concern for them, because they understood that the enemy and the world system that he's controlling is going to promote his agenda. So here's where we come into play. As believers, now is the time we really have to do our job. We're talking about discipleship and spreading the gospel and what have you. Well, the challenge exists that we have to stand. We're going to be criticized because I'm telling you, I work for the federal government. You better not say anything negative, make any comment about homosexual, bisexual, trisexual, multisexual, polysexual, whatever they may be calling themselves at the time. And so this is where we have to understand. The world is not going to operate the way we want it to as believers. The world is not going to accept our message. In fact, they may persecute, criticize, and ostracize us for our stance upon what the word says. And they may even try to question our application of the word. But the bottom line is, this doesn't surprise me. It's par for the course. And not to change your question, but it comes to us now. What are we going to do about it within our realm as believers? We can't make the world stop doing what it's doing, but we can infuse it with the gospel and continue working to make disciples. And that's just where it is. And I'm not sure if I answered the question, but that's my thought.
Yeah. Well, that was a question. What do you think?
Oh, okay.
No, so thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, and you know, you said a mouthful here. We're just living in a world where, and that's what we've been saying. We're living in a world where, hey, this is what they do. And what we need to do, you know, is band together and make sure we put a helm of protection around ours. So before leave the house, we do whatever we need to do with our children in the home. So we really got to make sure we protect our children. And we, you know, we know we got to send them out into the world. We know that. We know we can't hide it. If we don't, what we can do is do the same thing they used to do years ago. If we go to church, turn off TV, turn off radio, turn off this, turn off that. But in all honesty, that's not, you know, likely these days. You end up with more problems than anything else. But what we have to do, again, we go back to the Word of God. Train up a child in the way he should go and just keep praying. That's what I said earlier before you got on. We've been talking a lot on the broadcast about praying for our children, praying with our children. And we have to go back
to making sure, and that's why this just keeps coming up, because this is what is being filtered into everywhere. The schools, everywhere you go, everywhere they go, they don't have options. They don't have options. Before we switch gear real quickly and go into the topic for this morning, I want to just get your thoughts, my panel here, on this. There's an article that says, doing research, they have found that, you know, people have accused parents of moms of treating their children better and quote unquote different. And after they did their survey, come to find that it wasn't that they were actually treating the children differently. They were treating the children according to who they were, the personality difference, and the fact that you may have to treat, you will have to treat a child differently based on their personality. And it was this big issue between the oldest child and the subsequent children, you know, and older children complain about that a lot. Oh, you treat the baby, you let them get away with murder, you didn't let us do this, you didn't let us do that. And from what I'm, you know, now that I think about it, Tamika, are you the oldest child? Are you the older child between you and your brother?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Okay, so, and I know, KL, aren't you the, Pastor KL, aren't you the older child of your sister?
Yes.
And Pastor Ed, I know you're the oldest, correct?
Yes, correct.
So, this is the great panel, because I'm old. I'm also the older. So, you know, let's talk about this real quick. We got about 5-10 minutes to talk about this. Okay, so let's start with you, Pastor Ed. We're talking about treating the younger children differently, favoring. Let's talk about that. That's always the accusation that, you know, that parents, moms favor. But they're saying that it's actually not favoring, more than dealing with that child's personality that may garner maybe a little more or different type of attention, which may seem more time. What's your thought?
Let me be the first to testify as the eldest amongst my siblings, and take it even further, to be the eldest amongst my cousins. Yes, there is a difference. My parents placed responsibilities upon my shoulders at a very much earlier age than any of my other siblings. There are things that are expected of me. Sometimes I don't feel it's fair. But, and let me say this, as parents, and that's why I think there needs to be some kind of training, some kind of manual, something. I'm being somewhat facetious, but I'm also being honest, that teach parents how to be parents, like in Ephesians 5:22 through 6 and 4 in the Bible. Each individual child is different. They have different personalities. They have different abilities, skills, and talents, ways of understanding. And while you want to try to, the thing is, it's hard to be equal in training your children, but you have to learn to be equitable based upon who they are and where they are. And we saw that in the Bible with the prodigal son. It seemed unfair what the father did with the feast and the party for the son, that it went out and wasted everything, as opposed to what he did with the older son. But the older son was more responsible, even though we find he was prideful and selfish. And so as a parent, you have to ask God to guide you, to direct you, to know and understand your child's personality, who they are, and then treat them accordingly so that it is not just equal, because that doesn't work. We know that in our society, but that it is an equitable manner in which you raise your child.
All righty. You know, you mentioned the fact, and this is Shantice's consistent complaint, so I'm sure she's raising the roof for you, but we are talking about you saying, okay, you know what, I was given much greater responsibility earlier. Do you see the difference in you and them now?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Has it benefited you?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, has it benefited you that they did start you off a little earlier, because now you see what the deal is. Now you see why, and
yes.
now you see how it's benefit
yes.
your life. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I see it. I mean, my sister under me, she's deceased, but and I have a brother that's 8 years younger than me. But it has caused me to be the same thing happens on every job I go to and every church I'm in. I see where extra responsibilities are placed upon me, but again, it comes from the assessment of whoever is in charge or whoever is the leader, and
right.
so to whom much is required. I may not always like it, but it is what it is.
Right, right. Thank you. Okay, that's exactly what I was hoping to hear. Thank you so much, Pastor Ed. All right, where's my Pastor KL? Where's my Pastor KL? Okay, Pastor KL, you being the elder child, you know, have you seen that you were treated differently or more responsibility was given to you between you and your sister?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that we're not here to fight your argument between you and Shanti, so don't try to get points from me, okay? I just want you to know,
not.
You know, Shanti is my niece and I love you, baby. I don't want to lose a niece because of you. But this is what I will say. I think that the first child, unfortunately, is the test dummy. You know, when you have, you know, back in our parents' days, when you had a child at a young age, you know, you didn't want to do nothing wrong. You wanted to do everything right. You wasn't going to do this. You wasn't going to do that. And then sometimes the grandparents were still in the home, so they also took care of you. You know, by the time you came around the second child, you realize, oh, she ain't going to drown in the tub. Go ahead and take a bath by yourself. You know, you didn't care who watched the second child. You know what I mean? The dog could have watched the second child. Just don't let her roll off the bed. You know what I mean? At that point. But the first child, you know, it was like the golden child. I mean, my sister and I have a running joke now that I could do no wrong. You know, my sister would say, oh, your son coming to New York, you know he could do no wrong. You're going to have to spread. I'm almost like the prodigal son. You know, there's always a party when I come. But I would say, as far as responsibility, my sister had more responsibility because I grew up kind of slow. You know, saying I was a class clown, I didn't want to do right, da 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 da. And my sister was more responsible. So even though I was the oldest, she was, when my parents went away, all right, Lisa, you in charge. And I'm like, but I'm the oldest, yeah, but you the dumbest. You know, so Lisa, you in charge. You know, you know, that kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, I grew out of it, you know, and I've grown to be, you know, pretty well. But my sister, being the younger, she was always in charge.
Wow. Okay. Nice twist here. Thank you for your honesty, Pastor KL. Lady Tamika, we're talking about you being the elder child, and I think you mentioned before, you know, the difference, but. You know, really quickly as we're winding down out of this conversation, what's your thought on the eldest versus the youngest, the personality, the time, the how we got away with murder or how you got away with murder? What's your thought?
I'm going to have to keep my paper inside my pocket because it looks like Pastor KL looked over and cheated. But when it comes to that first child, he's absolutely right. We are the test dummies, so to speak. I don't want to call anybody a dummy. However, we're the trial run, you know. And so, you know, initially you buy all this big stuff. You do, you know, you do this, you do that for that first child. You know, the second child, you know, what ends up happening in some cases or a lot of cases, the first child becomes the pseudo parent in a sense, you know, because what mommy can't do, then that child becomes, you know, can assist, you know, where, okay, mommy has to go wash dishes. So you watch your little brother, you watch your little sister while I'm gone, you know, and then there's other things because at this point it's like, okay, mommy can't do it all. So the older child gets all of the extra responsibility. I remember, you know, I wanted to go hang out, and of course, you know, let's be honest, we're not always truthful. I told my mother I was going to the library, and she was like, well, take your little brother. I was like, oh, you know, and it, you know, those are the type of things that you do. You learn early that there's a responsibility as the older child, you know, and it does filter throughout your life, you know. Even now, I still live with my brother, And there are things that I'll say, I literally have to tug him. Come on, let's do this. Let's take care of this. Let's take care of that. He's like, oh, well, don't worry about it. No, you know, and I'm the adamant one. And I find that that happens a lot with the older children. They're the first to, you know, to make a move. And the other ones are a little bit more sluggish. Not that they don't want to. It's just that's just how they respond because they're used to you taking care of it. And when you like, take your hands off, then they kind of out in there and in the space like, okay, well, you took your hands off. You're supposed to do. Wait a minute. Who told you I was supposed to? You know, and that's where that lies.
Wow. Okay. Nice feedback. I like this conversation. Well, I want to address, thank you so much, all three of you, for joining us today. And I want to switch gear. There's article, a video article, audio article I'm going to try to play for you today. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had the governor, I believe, of New York say, you know, some stuff about COVID and things like that. And God, you know, implementing God, you know, or not implementing God, but, interjecting God into this COVID thing. So I'm going to play a little sound bit for you, and I want to get your feedback. So let me see if I can get this.
We have to get this community back. And what we went through this pandemic made us stronger. I believe that, especially as I talk to young people who weren't able to have their graduations from high school or a normal life for the last 18 months. I say to them, whatever comes your way in life, you are stronger. You are more resilient. God let you survive this pandemic because he wants you to do great things someday. He let you live through this when so many other people did not. And that is also your responsibility. But how do we keep more people alive? We are not through this pandemic. I wished we were, but I prayed a lot to God during this time. And you know what? God did answer our prayers. He made the smartest men and women, the scientists, the doctors, the researchers, he made them come up with a vaccine. That is from God to us. And we must say, thank you, God. Thank you. And I wear my vaccinated necklace all the time to say, I'm vaccinated. All of you. Yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones. But you know there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants. You know this. You know who they are. I need you to be my apostles. I need you to go out and talk about it and say, we owe this to each other. We love each other. Jesus taught us to love one another. And how do you show that love but to care about each other enough to say, please get vaccinated because I love you. I want you to live. I want our kids to be safe when they're in schools. I want you to be safe when you go to a doctor's office or to a hospital and are treated by somebody. You don't want to get the virus from them. You're already sick or you wouldn't be there. We have to solve this, my friends. I need every one of you. I need you to let them know that this is how we can fight this pandemic, come back to normal, and then start talking about the real issues that we have to. Fighting systemic racial injustice, which exists today, and if there's a denier, I will take you on any day because I've seen it. I know it exists, and we are not going to have a blind eye to this ever again, any longer under my watch. And that is my commitment to you.
All right. So that was the sound bite of that, a portion of her presentation. And she was at CCC, which is Christian Cultural Center, out in Brooklyn. And this is, you know, what her, a part of her conversation was with them. So I want to ask very precise questions. I know I only have you for a little while past the egg, but I want to go specifically to God answered prayer by making the people, the doctors, whomever, come up with the vaccine. So that's why we need to take it, because God made it. What's your thought on that?
Okay, so first off, you know my mouth is over here dropped open because this is my first time here as new governor. Secondly, I just want to say, now, I don't know if she was politically pandering to that particular audience because she was at CCC. I don't know, but let me say this, and this is my take, and it, maybe it's different from anyone else's take. you know, I'm a firm believer that every good and perfect gift does come from God. I also know that science is new to us. Technology is new to us, but it's not new to God. And I will also say the knowledge that anyone has, they only have it because of God. So while I don't know if she put it in the proper theological context, but the point is, indirectly, she's right. Anything that is good, it's a result of God allowing it to be so. So I guess I'm just still kind of, I've never heard this before. So I'm a little thrown off that in the second most liberal state in the United States of America, that she stood up and made a religious, a Christian religious, whatever you want to call it, address, even though she was in a church. So I'm shocked by it. I guess that's about it.
Okay. Well, here's where I put the twist on the question. So we do, as believers, you know, do believe. Of course, we know that none of this, flu shot, vaccine shot, any other kind of medicine or whatever, is definitely given any level of wisdom and knowledge. We know the medical field cannot have it without God. We definitely had, that's hands down for us. However, because she was standing in a Christian community, you know, this is the way she can interject this to kind of get them, because now she's trying to convince people to take the vaccine. So my question is, should we say this for this particular vaccine to get people to take the vaccine? Are we saying, should we be saying this? Well, God made it, so therefore you should take it. That's my question. Do you believe that it should be put in that particular context?
For this vaccine, and I hope I don't go off track, common sense and self-preservation should be what we're promoting. Listen. The virus is real. I don't care what knuckleheads want to put together these conspiracy theories and say it's not real. I personally know it's real. The folks that we buried knew that it was real, and their families as well. So my thing is, and this is going to seem opposite to our cause, New York in the United States is not a theocracy. She is a political leader, and she needs to reach all the masses and not pander to a particular crowd. The fact of the matter is she should be promoting the virus. The vaccine should be taken because it is there to protect and to save lives, and that it is each individual. I'm going to be honest. If I was a political leader, y'all would probably hate me right now, because I would start putting things in place that would mandate it, just like they mandated measles, mumps, and rubella for you to go to school, et cetera, et cetera. So I would be taking it. I'm the leader of the state, and this is what the state is going to, because I'm responsible for protecting the citizen, and this is what the state is going to do to protect the citizen. And if you don't want to participate, then you stay at home and lock yourself away, and all of y'all conspiracy theorists, y'all can live in a room together. But for the general population that I'm responsible for protecting, this is the action that I'm going to take, as it has been done in the past. There's precedent that shows, so that's my opinion.
All righty. Woo! That was hot, Pastor A. Let's go to Pastor KL. Pastor KL, so this was being said in CCC amongst the Christian community. So my question is, do you think she should have interjected God as a way to persuade people to take the vaccine?
Well, yes. I mean, because you know, like Pastor Ed said, you know, anything good and perfect comes from God. You know, therefore, I mean, by any means necessary. She didn't lie about it. You know, she just used the arena and promoted it. But again, you should promote it everywhere you go. You know, this virus is serious. You know, it's taking people out. I've done funerals 3 Saturdays in a row. You know, it's serious. So by any means necessary, whatever platform you can get, whatever door that's open, you need to walk through that door and speak it. You know, there's a lot of folks who you know, a lot of Christians saying, well, when God's ready for me to go, he gonna take me. You know, and that's their excuse. You know, the God that I serve, he's able to deliver me out of your hands. Yeah, okay. Ooh. All right. So don't bow down. You know, but people are laying down. You know, and they're laying down every day. They're going in for what they think is a cold, and then they're not coming out. And then the bad part about it is that when they go in, whatever you said to them the last time you saw them, that was your last conversation. You can't go visit them. You can't say, I'm sorry. And then at the funeral, you want to have all this stuff. If she only took the shot. If he only took the shot. No. Y'all kept on kumbaya together saying God is going to heal us. You know, God gives you wisdom. You know, and I think that she was at a place, you know, saying CCC is a huge ministry. So if she could have just got 10 people out of there who did it, then the songwriter said, if I can just help somebody, then my living is not in vain. So if she could just help somebody, you know, then they'll tell a friend and realize that it's not as bad as you think it is. We don't know what's in the flu shot, but we take it. We don't know what's in half. People talking about we not going to take the shot because I don't know what's in it. When you go for a sinus infection and they put 2 shots in your hip, you don't know what's in it. You just want to feel better. Y'all go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Woo, we got some passion coming out of here. Come on, Lady Tamika, what's your thought?
Now, I'm on the other side of the fence on this because my thing is I personally was offended when she used the word apostle. You know,
we ain't got that far.
When she said the
Okay. Come on, Tamika. Okay. Come on, we ain't got there yet. I'm definitely coming to that. We ain't got there yet. Come on, go back. So my question was, should she have used this as a persuasive way?
Okay. Good. All right. So my concern is, I do hear the gentleman, you know, on the panel. You know, I'm not one of those theorists. However, I do feel that you have to look at your own vessel and you have to know what you can attain. Now, I've been here throughout the pandemic. I've been in the presence of individuals who actually had it. And I don't feel as though I personally need it. You know, yes, I do understand that God created these things for individuals. However, it is to whom it is given. You know, and I do believe that everybody does not have to get it. You know, the thing that concerns me is when you mandate. We've had the flu vaccine, which is a matter of choice. We've had other vaccines that were a matter of choice, you know. And so the hardship for anyone, you know, is the fact that you're now mandating it in a state. You know, it's happened in New York, and I just went to Jersey, and one of my dear friends said that it's happening in other states, you know, Pennsylvania, California, and the like. You know, however, you have to have wisdom when you leave your home. You know, don't just do crazy things, you know, going out to parties with a bunch of people that you don't know, you know, and just living that type of life. I think it is personal.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So now I want to address, I think you need to be my apostle. See, this is why I started the question with, okay, you understanding the arena she was in. And now you see how you go from one step to the next. Now you're recruiting apostles. Pastor Ed, what's your thought on the statement?
I go back to my original statement about pandering to the crowd. And so, you know, so, and I'm not trying to be funny. So if she's in an LGBT crowd, is she now going to flip the script and pander to their likes and dislikes? I still stand by the fact that she is the political leader of the state of New York. She is not an apostle. Now, for those of us who have calling and the anointing of God to go forth and do his work,
this is not something you play around with, because first of all, we know the both the blessing but the burden that comes with that calling, and she can't just haphazardly, very lightly throw it out there and just made herself an apostle so she can appeal to this CCC crowd or whatever the case is. So again, stay in your lane, do your job, and be the police, not the theological leader of New York State, and for the protection of the citizens.
Did you finish? Oh, wait.
Hello?
Pastor, are you there?
Oh, yeah. I got muted, so I guess I was talking
yes,
too long.
Yes. No. No, I meant to mute the one who was building the house in the back. I muted you. I'm sorry. Okay, go back. Go back to Sam because we want to hear everything. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So what I was saying is, and I'll summarize what I said before, she's the political leader of New York State. She's not the theological leader. As someone who understands the blessing and burden of a calling from God, she cannot just now self-anoint her person as an apostle or whatever she was referring to. She's pandering to a particular crowd. Like I said, so when she goes to the next crowd, is she going to become a chameleon and pander to what appeals to that crowd? My thing, I still firmly believe, as a political leader, she has a responsibility to protect the citizens, and as precedent has shown, certain types of vaccines are mandated for you to participate. Now, if you choose not to participate in certain things, again, that's where your personal choice comes in. But like we say, if you want to participate in the public school system, you now have to be vaccinated. If you want to be an employee like I am of the federal government, you have to be vaccinated. Now, you can choose not to, but you are also choosing, as my director made it clear in a town hall, I did not make this rule, but I am tasked with enforcing the rule. And as the rule states, if you are not vaccinated by November 8th, you are subject to disciplinary action up to being removed from the job.
Okay. Thank you. Pastor KL, if you can take a moment from building the house, what's your thought on her saying, you know, I want you to be my apostle? What's your thought?
Well, first I want to say, except the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. I just want you to know. I'm trying to do God's work. You know what I mean? but you know, the Bible says some I give apostles, some I give prophets, I give, you know, evangelists, ministers, teachers. You know, you can't just consecrate a bunch of folks and say you're gonna be my apostles. You know, I mean, that's already out of order. And for the believers in the church, to me, at that point, that's when you've lost it. You know, because you've said so many good things, you know, and then now you want to act as if you're the archbishop, you know, and talk about be my apostle. You know, that's totally out of order. You know, that's not even biblically speaking. You know what I mean? Just because you know the genre of the Christian life, you think you can haphazardly just throw it in and out everywhere, you know, and people, true believers, you know, people who know the word, once you got to that point, you have lost the entire audience, you know, and it's a shame to say so many good things, you know, to captivate the audience and then lose them all, you know, by saying one dumb thing. So, yeah, I think that was really bad.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Lady Tamika, here you go. Here's your opportunity to comment on her saying about the apostles. What you got?
Okay, so as soon as she started to say it, I nearly lost my mind at that point because, you know, that would have definitely been one of those opportunities where I either turn my back or I get to walking. And, you know, a lot of times we give respect to those who are in position, but I would not have been able to take my seat because oftentimes, and even there's certain news channel that I watch first thing in the morning. And I'm not trying to be offensive to our pastorship, to those in leadership. However, you know, this thing, again, is a matter of choice, you know, and there's this commercial that I watch in the morning, and there's a pastor there, and he's African, and he's talking about he got vaccinated, and, you know, this and this and this and that, and you should get vaccinated. Okay, again, that is a choice. You know, we all have to make the choice, you know, whether you should do it or whether you shouldn't do it. But I have a problem when you put it in that arena, you know, and the fact that she actually used the word apostle, I nearly lost my mind. Like, you know, you're looking at the Bible and you're doing all your research towards the apostle, and you just all of a sudden just one day decide, okay, just I'm an apostle today. So tomorrow, what do you, you know, if you want to go to the arena of the LGBTQ, you're going to label yourself as one of them as well, just so that you can fit in to appeal to that audience. You know, you have to understand, you have to be very sensitive to those who are listening, because there are some that will go just because, you know, of your name, you know, of your authority. And that's the arena that offends me.
Okay. Thank you. Pastor Ed, I know you're about to go, so I need your last thought.
Okay.
Wait. I got a question. I was just trying to see how I could pose it. Do politicians belong in the pulpit for the agenda of pushing their agenda, let me put it like that. Because, see, we're not going to pull politicians in on any Sunday or Sabbath morning. It's only at voting time and this particular, you know, issue that we pull in politicians. Should the politicians be in the pulpit?
Absolutely not. And this is my personal opinion, and I'll explain why. First of all, I do allow a space and a time that I feel is appropriate for them to address their political needs. But first of all, you're not coming into the pulpit. When I did allow it, there was a place on the floor with a podium from which they could speak. But I'm going to go a step further. The reason why I have a concern for them doing it is, do you all remember when Weiner was running for mayor?
I don't.
Okay, the guy who was sexting some young lady, he had been a member of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
He had to resign. He was sexting. His wife was an assistant to Hillary Clinton. Then he was running for mayor. But the point is, some black leaders in the community brought him to our church. He stood and he started, like this governor did, started quoting some scriptures he must have selected specifically, talking about forgiveness, and he apologized. And then the week after, they caught him sexting again, and his political career was over. I don't believe they belong in the pulpit. I'm not saying that we bury our heads in the ground and that we don't hear what's going on, but as the leader of that congregation, I should be able to address to them what is going on in the political arena and be able to encourage them to do their citizenship duty. But no, politicians are panderers. Too many times they will lie, and like Lady Tamika said, they're going to mold themselves to the audience to whom they are speaking. And so, from personal experience, no, they don't belong in the pulpit.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us today. We always deem it a blessing to have you, you know, in our conversation. Thank you for pressing and making your way. And God spares. We hope to have you next week. Have a blessed day.
Amen. You too. Thank you all. Y'all, Pastor Carol, Lady Tamika, have a blessed day.
Thank you.
You as well, sir.
All right. All righty. Pastor KL, do politicians, in your opinion, belong in the pulpit?
Absolutely not. I mean, I see politicians as a defense lawyer. You know, they're going to do anything and say anything they can say to get their point across. And we all know defense lawyers, they're going to lie. They're going to know you guilty, but their job is to get you off. You know, some of these things these politicians say, they know they're not going to fulfill, but it sounds good, so let me say it so that I can get your vote. So they need to stay far away from the pulpit, far, far, far away.
Okay, okay. And Lady Tamika, what's your vote today? What's your thought? I think I already know.
I remember when Bloomberg. I actually frequented CCC on a couple of more than a couple, and I remember when Bloomberg came to CCC to you know, and it made me kind of laugh because it was almost as though he didn't have any respect for the pulpit. You know, he just went right up there like that's where you're supposed to be. You know, you know, if you're coming, you know, find a spot, you know. And what they did was they handed him a mic, and the look on his face like, well, you're in the pulpit, I should be there. And it was quite obvious, you know, whereas you don't respect the pulpit, you know, as though a minister would. And sure, you advocate for your cause because you're trying your best to appeal to a certain people, and I don't see you all year round. I only see you when you want something from me, you know, and it was kind of funny because you could hear the mumble among the congregation, oh, now you're coming. You know, when we had real problems and we came to you and we asked you questions, you made no move. But now that you want something from me, now you'll sit in the midst of us and sit throughout the whole entire service and then wait for your opportunity to say something to appeal to me. So, no, yeah, I do not believe that they have a place there.
Okay, okay, thank you. Let's hear from our listeners. Okay, let's get Shartice on here. Good morning, Shartice, again. What's
good
the
morning.
Comments from the listeners?
Okay, so real quick before I give my quick comments. A listener sent in, I never knew a politician whose word was absolutely genuine. New York just wants to reopen again. But we did go from a governor who said God didn't bring the numbers down, people did, to a governor who said God brought us the vaccine. So we have two different extremes now. And my personal comment is, I find it very interesting, and I love how strategic God is, because listening to her, especially with the apostle comment, brought me back to the night we were watching clips of pastors speaking, and one of them slipped up and said, and this is what the devil told me to say, God. There's no way, there is
yep.
no way God is going to give you this platform to tell his people and to tell people in general, believers and non-believers, especially believers, that he sent this vaccine for you, and then now you slip in your own personal agenda. He knows what your motives are before he would assign that to you, and he is not going to entrust you with that type of message with him knowing that you are now going to push your flesh into it. This is just another way. So they see that the money wasn't working for some of the black people, because unfortunately most of us black people took the money and got vaccinated. So now, especially with the black community, what's the next best thing to push? God said. So now I'm running to get vaccinated because God said. Now, vaccine is not a cure, but God sent it. It's just way too much, and if you really think about it, for us believers, it's insulting to know that anyone can come up and say God said, and now we run to it because now it challenges the time we spend with God, it challenges our study time, it challenges our prayer time. You can't just come up to me and just say God said, and I'm now following you. I have to now immediately couple that up with my one-on-one time with him, what he says to me, my reading time and everything. And this is just another, like the listener said, this is just another way for us to now run, because there's money in medicine. So this $100 gift card and $500 they've been giving out, now I forgot how much they're giving if you let your kids go get vaccinated. All of that is pennies to them. There's money in every time someone allows them to inject them with whatever this is. Okay, so it's you really have to pay attention, and I don't expect people who are not in God to really see it the way we're supposed to see it, but he just allowed her to tell on herself. And for those of us who are for him and we just turn a blind eye to it, whether we get vaccinated or not, but we don't really read into this and really pay attention, it's really sad. And I was just too blue when I initially heard the clip. It's just too much for me.
All right. Thank you very much, Shanti. Thank you, listener, for submitting your comments. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a nice day. Have a blessed day. All to my panel, Pastor KL and Lady Tamika, thank you so much for this conversation today. Very, very stimulating and thought-provoking. Thank you so much, and we pray you have a blessed day as well.
You do, same.
Amen. You too. God bless you both.
Thank you. All righty. Well, before I give my comment and my thoughts, you know, I've saved them for the closing. Let us take this time to hold hands and hold hearts, because, baby, we need to. Woo! Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, just thanking you because you always been an awesome God, regardless of what we do, regardless of what we say. You care for us more than we care for our very selves. And thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for awakening us today to such a thought-provoking conversation. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that we live in a land where we have freedom of speech. Whether people agree or disagree, God, you've opened up the platform to us, God, and we're lifting this earth before you, dear Heavenly Father, and we're praying, God, that the people hear your voice, that we watch for the ministers that say that they are here and quoting what you would have them to quote. We pray, God, you know, your word says, my sheep hear my voice. And the one thing I love about you, God, is you're consistent. You're a God of decency, and you're a God of order. And you're not going to switch up on us. Your word says that you're not a man that would lie or a man that would change his mind. And I'm personally grateful for that, God, because that means that when I rely on you, I can put my 100% trust in you, God. And I thank you for the rest of us as being the mouthpiece today. Thank you for being that consistent, God. Thank you, God, for showing us the way, God. Thank you, God, for alerting us to when it's you and when it's not you, God. Thank you for being so consistent that when we do see inconsistencies, we know that it's not you. Yes, we know you can use whoever you choose to use, God, but we're not talking about that right now. We're not talking about someone being partially used. We're talking about those who have been chosen to minister, to give you at the end of the day. There's no hidden agenda. There's no purpose today that won't be tomorrow. There's no conforming to my environment. There's not saying the right thing at the right time. We just speak for you because that's what we have been chosen to do, and that's what we are doing. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for just allowing this platform to take place, God, and that people can hear both sides, and then they can come to you, and you can fulfill exactly what you have promised to do. I thank you, God, for being the God who said, I will supply your needs. And a lot of times, God, we're off the beaten path. But what we want, we think are our needs. And we're grateful, God, when you just redirect us. You know, Pastor Ed said, to much is given, much is required. Absolutely. Once you give us the information, you're requiring us to move accordingly. So we're grateful, God, because you took us out of darkness and you brought us into your marvelous light, God. And I deem it a blessing. I deem it a blessing to walk in your will and your way, God. Everything we talk about here
leaves me with something to think about. Either I become stronger in my stance because of what I've heard you say, what I've read, or because I'm like, I know that's not God because of what I've read and because of what you said. So, God, I'm asking that all of us get that same reception. We all understand you the same way. That there's no gray areas for us that would cause confusion. Because as long as we lay our lives before you and as long as we submit and surrender, you will not have us confused. Because that's not the way you operate. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for choosing us to even be recipients of your word. There are so many people out there, God, who don't even get it. But you consistently, you don't just call us once. You didn't just call us once. You call us each and every day. So every day when we open up that internet, every day when we open up that phone line to receive your word, God, we get it. And we thank you to Heavenly Father for just offering us brand new tender mercies every single day. But we don't have a reason to not be drawn to you. We ask that everyone be blessed, God. We ask that you bless our ministers today. We ask that you bless your listeners today. Anybody who's listening now, next week, next month, next year, God, would be delivered, would be called, would understand you more. Because we know that your word never dies. It gains momentum, but it never dies. Thank you so much for being who you are and never changing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Woo, we had some very passionate and emotional, you know, a lot of times I'm the one who's passionate and emotional, but we heard some real passionate and emotional statements today. And so, you know, I reserved my moment to just give it at the end, you know, absorbing everything that was said before today and today. And I kind of touched on this last week toward the end of the week, and I understand that we have people such as this governor who stepped up. To answer my own question, I do not believe, I would never present a politician to my congregation. I feel like, you know, it's the same way as putting just any old minister in the pulpit. Absolutely not. That's not something that I would do. God has entrusted that pulpit to me. And until God has led me to put you in that pulpit, you ain't getting up in there. And I'm going to take it a step further. You know, Pastor Ed said, you know, he pulls them down off the pulpit. Nah. You want to hear the politician, turn on your TV, turn on your radio. I'm not, go read about it. I'm not putting them up in here. You would have to really say something to me, and the Lord would really have to say that second thing to me for me to bring that any politician up into that pulpit because they have an agenda. Their agenda is not God. And anytime your agenda is not God, I'm not putting you before the people that God has given me. So I can't do it. And for whoever does something different, I'm okay with that. That's Stephanie's call. You know, that's Stephanie's call. So it has nothing to do with, you know, going against anybody here today. It's almost like what we were talking earlier about the parents and stuff like that. The other thing I say they have an agenda is because I watch how she switched gears. You know, you go from petitioning the people using God to now being the one to feel like you have the authority now, like has been said by all three of our panelists, to say, you know, you are going to be my apostle. See how you get all twisted? See, if you ain't in that congregation, if you're not in that room, you can't get twisted person to person. You're going to have to get it twisted somewhere else. You cannot get it twisted here. No, we not doing that. Because, again, you give an inch, and what when you look up, what is it? A mile. And I cannot run that risk. and you now seeking out, and now you calling on your apostle. No, how are we doing that? How are we doing that? Absolutely not. You are out of line, and as was said, you know, you can't be a chameleon when you accept God. See, you have to have one agenda. And the one thing I always say here, and that I've told you this a million times, I pray each and every night and every morning that anyone who ministers on his due time, that God's word would be their word, that God's thought would be their thought. Even when I said it the opposite way and meant the same thing, the Spirit of the Lord corrected me and said, no, I need you to put that first. I need you, instead of saying, you know, God, please let, you know, their words be your words. I know what you mean. But see, I need you to put it out there a little differently. I need you to put that out there in reverse. Put God up there first. So because I understand that they are a chameleon. So when she went into the LGBTQ community, that's how she shifted again. She would shift again. When she went into the Jewish community, she's going to shift gears. When she goes into this community, she's going to shift gears. See, this can't happen in front of God's people. See, I can't have you becoming a chameleon in front of God's people to push your agenda. I don't care whether it's vaccines. I don't care if it's your vote. I don't care. However you need to sway me, you're going to be who you need to be in front of God's people. I don't think so. I don't care how many wicked people sitting up in the congregation. No. My job is to present a minister who is here for God. So this building is not for you. Your building is wherever you are housed and your campaign headquarters. That's where you belong. Because, see, I don't become a chameleon. God has given me charge over this house. I don't become a chameleon. And I'm not going to allow anybody else who will chameleon themselves to be here. So, no, I can't go there. Because, see, this is where you go. Now you recruiting apostles. God is the only one who calls, like Pastor K.S. said. That's what the Word of God says. And they go and study these verses and scriptures and things like that to accommodate what they're talking about. Now, see, we're not doing that. We're not doing that here. See, I already, let me help you understand something. I already was led to put somebody in the pulpit who later smashed us. But I was given that person because they were given that chance. Now I had to pick up the pieces because of what they did. And the funny part about it was, up until that point, I had never put anybody in the pulpit. Anybody who's been with me from the beginning knows that's not something I do. I guard that pulpit like it's my life, because it is. Because I accepted the call to this ministry. I accepted this congregation that you gave me. So, no, everybody just don't come up. Let me tell you something. If you're off the beaten path, you ain't even coming up to pray. If God has told me to sit you down, you can't even pray. So I'm not bringing nobody up, and that was somebody who was supposed to be a minister, who was given one kind of word. Let me submit word after word. And they was only up once a month, and they managed to smash that. And I was completely blown. I didn't see it coming. And yes, that's what happened to us. And like I said, at the end of the day, I'm picking up the pieces, because now I got to go before this congregation and help clean up. And just like Pastor Ed said, now, you know, they put the political person up in the arena of the pulpit. And now when you looked, they were coming down off of their arena that they were given in the politician world, because it wasn't their concern. God wasn't their concern. And this is the reason why the answer is no. Now, when we talk about this thing with this vaccine, and I am very aware of, well aware of, you know, when we put our children in school, they have to be vaccinated. When we have to go to college, we have to be vaccinated. Yeah, I get it. I absolutely get it. I get it that
you know, we, this has been given for a particular reason with a certain level of belief that this is, you know, I don't know if I want to say it's a cure because, you know, some people say, well, I didn't say it was a cure. Whatever it is believed to be, and I respect that. Here's the issue that I'm having. It has to be an individual issue, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm completely on the platform with Lady Tamika. This same vaccine has not kept you from getting the COVID. Now, I can't say that I've ever heard them say that. I can't say that. Maybe they did. I don't remember. I can't say right now that they ever said it. But here's my thing. If I still have to get, after getting the vaccine, and this is supposed to be so effective, then why do we have to get boosters so soon? Why is it that people can still get the vaccine? Why would I still have to mask up? Why would I have to worry about passing it potentially? Those are the things that I have in my head. And that's one thing that I have made sure. I have not spoken about the vaccine from the pulpit. I honestly believe that God has given me, it must be an individual thing. Do people who have the authority to say, hey, you know, you either do it or you don't. And I said this from the very beginning. I said, this is your company. You have every right to say whether you want these people vaccinated or not. This is your company. As Pastor Ed said, if you've been given charge over this group of people, then that's what you do. However, as a regular citizen, I honestly believe because it's not, you know, do we get chicken pox, you know, after later? Yeah, we do get chicken pox. And yes, we do take chances with other vaccines. However, it's just, it has to be, I shouldn't be shamed. And I said this last week, I shouldn't be shamed for either getting it or not getting it. I actually saw articles of people smashing and destroying the vaccine sites and tents. How dare you? That's not up to you. You can't go and smash something that has been put up. If that's what they are doing, then you don't believe it. Then, as Pastor Ed said, go somewhere and sit over in the corner. But at the same level, you cannot shame me for not taking it because I have to be concerned about Stephanie's body. And if you are comfortable with taking the vaccine, then so be it. I love you the same. And I have not, if anybody in the congregation can tell you, I've not told them whether they should or shouldn't. I've had it asked of us. And while everybody else was given, I didn't say anything. They had to ask me, Pastor Steph, what do you think? And at the end of the day, I said, it's really up to you. Because there are a lot of issues that people, this is my body. And if I don't feel comfortable, I don't take the flu shot because I have an allergy to egg. They have said to me, well, you know, we got ones that don't have egg. No, that's okay. Mm-mm. No, no, no. I don't need to put something in my body and I don't know how it's going to react. You know, the measles for mumps and rubella, I had no choice. I was 5 years old and that's what my mother made the decision to do. But as an adult, I should be given the option, and I think that's what we need to consider. We are given an option by God to accept his word or to decline his word. That needs to be the same way, in my opinion, we're given it. So, that's my vote on this conversation today. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday to Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will all serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for coming through big time for us today. I want to thank you for listening and joining us. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior today. Later is not promised to you. Until tomorrow with Wow Wednesday. Oh.
I love you.